Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan. Simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. That was more like it. The New York Mets battle back, score 7 runs, and show you some fight, show you some offense. Yeah, I know Syndergaard wasn't great, but I don't care about that last night. It was all about scoring some runs, and they did. Pete Alonso exacts some revenge on the Padres. Yeah, it wasn't Chris Paddock, but still, he hits a huge home run. And then a bat flip that I think didn't mean to be as demonstrative as it was. I think the bat kind of stuck to his hand a little bit and he threw it way up in the air. But who cares? He hit the home run. The Mets win. Edwin Diaz has to hold on after pitching himself into some trouble. And the Yankees do what the Yankees do. And they come back themselves after a rain delay. You're thinking maybe finally they go down in this game. But no, they fight back. And Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, hits a big home run to tie it in the ninth at the Monument Park on an 0-2 pitch. He is the man. He is the most popular Gio in this town. I will give him that. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. It was a great night for New York baseball as both New York teams in the ninth inning obviously come up huge. And I don't know what to say about the Yankees other than Brian Cashman deserves a Silver Star. He really does. I mean, all these guys. And when you think about the Cleveland innings, Indians allowing Urshela to leave.
Yeah.
And they got to be sick to their stomach because they can't score a run now. As I was just talking to Mark Chernoff, and he is lamenting the fact that his sons, you know, the GM of course, the Indians, they can't score. They're terrible. Their offense is bad. I'm like, don't worry about it, coach. Just relax. But Urshela was an Indian. And Urshela is – and by the way, LeMahieu. Both have been unbelievable,
those two
signings.
Guys.
Unbelievable
yeah.
signings by Brian Cashman. You could say the same thing about Tauchman. I don't know about Ford. He had a couple moments. But these guys just keep coming through. And it's really amazing to watch. And now, after this series with the Mariners, I think they have 6 games with the Rays coming up. And they're going to be huge games with the Rays because the Rays are 1-2. So both teams are 7-3 in their last 10. But the Yankees' magical season with a bunch of no-names continues.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And those two guys, you're absolutely right. And everybody's contributed. He even had Thyro Estrada. We talked about the Thyro Estrada game. But those two guys in particular have been so unbelievably consistent, both offensively and defensively, Gio Urshela and DJ LeMahieu.
You know what I love about what Urshela is doing? Urshela is basically getting an opportunity because somebody got hurt. Andujar gets hurt.
Yep.
And I've often told you, and I've told Al and everybody, and I've been saying this for years, that when you get your opportunity, you got to make the most of it. You got to seize the moment. And you know, it's unfortunate it's at the at the feet of somebody who's gotten hurt. But you got to be happy for this kid, and you got to be really happy for what Brian Cashman found here. This is like a diamond. This is what you call a buffed diamond in the rough, is what it is.
Yeah, it is. His defense is great. Aaron Boone said this guy's, you're going to see him at third base. I think his line from last night was he laughs at ground balls. I mean, it's great to have a guy who steps up, can contribute offensively, but also is a lockdown third baseman, which is something that, as great as Miguel Andujar was last year, we know that he struggled defensively. So you're basically getting an upgrade over there at third base as well. So hats off to Brian Cashman and those guys. You're absolutely right. And I remember when Jed Lowry was signed by the Mets, right after that, DJ LeMahieu was signed by the Yankees. And a lot of people were comparing those two players because they had, I don't know, similar offensive numbers, similar careers, whatever, although their age is a little bit different. And I remember that that was the comparison. So far, DJ LeMahieu, you could make a case, has been the Yankees MVP.
Well, I don't know. Voight would
Voight's
be in the
been great, too. But you could make a case for LeMahieu because the two games that he wasn't there were two worst offensive games. He's one of three players who have carried this Yankee team more than the others. Voight, Urshela, and LeMahieu. You could make a case he's been as important as anybody else, and we haven't seen Jed Lowrie yet even play at all. We didn't see him in spring training. We haven't seen him in a regular season. So it's funny how those two guys and those paths that started where they started. Right now, in early May, the Yankees have won that battle.
Yeah,
in a big
I don't
way.
Think the hitting prowess of LeMahieu is surprising anybody. Obviously,
sure,
he's
no.
a good hitter, and he's
DJ
batting .330.
Matthew, yeah,
right? Yeah, okay,
that's
so,
right.
But he's batting .330 right now, and Urshela is batting .360. That's shocking because nobody knew that he would be this good of a hitter. Especially when they brought him up, remember they said this is going to be, you know, his defense is going to be great. If we get a hit here or there and we get a key spot, it's going to be really good. But he has been last year's Andujar. He's not going to be. I don't think he projects to be Torres or Andujar as hitters. But you can't take away what this young man's doing for himself right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody really had much of an opinion on him when he started playing and he got his opportunity. It was sort of, who the hell is this guy? Well, where did he come from? Who is he? And now the opinions on him are all positive. I mean, last night, too, this cannot be minimized. You're talking about, it's an 0-2 pitch. And I understand it wasn't a great pitch, but still, an 0-2 pitch that he hit to Monument Park last night in the ninth inning.
You think we got it miserable. The Mariners are not playing well these days. But, you know, Urshela is not like he's 21 or 22. He's 27 years old.
Yeah.
He's been around, and he has found, obviously, a comfort zone in the biggest spotlight on the biggest spotlight team in baseball, which is really even more crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
But this guy is, you know, he's got history. He's got you know, some of a resume, and I think they all thought of him as like the Mets think of Echeverria, right? We could put him out there. He's not going to embarrass us in the field, and he's going to make plays. So that's how I think that they thought of him, and plus with Andujar getting hurt, Brian Cashman knew, look, if we can't hit home runs, because all of our home run hitters are not in the lineup when Gary Sanchez was hurt and Judge was hurt, and of course Hicks was hurt and Stanton was hurt, all these home runs were out of the lineup at one point. We're going to have to play defense. We're going to have to get guys that can actually throw and catch. And at least that part of the game, we can protect ourselves.
Yeah, Brian Cash has talked a lot about not having one-dimensional players on the roster. He said that he made a big mistake with the Jason Giambi signing, and that was a one-dimensional player. Now, I could argue that, you know, Giancarlo Stanton's a little bit of a one-dimensional player, but the rest of the roster, he wants to make sure that you don't have a lot of one-dimensional players.
Well, in the American League, at least Stanton can still play the
sure.
outfield, and he can play both, corner outfield positions, and he also can be a DH in the American League. A one-dimensional player is a Dom Smith.
Yeah,
you know, he's a first baseman or he's a pinch hitter, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have a first baseman like Pete Alonso, who hits the big dinger last night in the ninth inning, you know, Dom Smith is not going to find playing time. So what do you do with him? And when you have injuries around the diamond and you have guys like Rosario scuffling as a defender, you got to have other people in your lineup that can give a breather to those players. And that's the one-dimensional player Dom Smith is, that he can't afford that to the manager. So this is why DJ LeMahieu was brought here. He can play multiple positions in the infield, but they knew that he could hit.
Sure.
And when he's in a lineup, man, it's like things are happening. He is creating things. And last night was huge for he and Urshela again. You know, and you know, a couple nights ago it was Voight hit a home run in the first inning. I mean, so they're getting so many good vibes from so many players that they never expected it to happen for. And that's when you know, man, you are pressing all the right buttons as the general manager, as Brian Cashman has done here. And plus, you know, they had a pretty good performance by Tanaka up to the range.
Yeah, and speaking of Masahiro Tanaka, it's a good thing that the Yankees won last night because he was about to go and kill his outfield, because you had two instances, one with Gardner and Frazier. I don't even know how this happens between two major leaguers, where you got a routine fly ball in between the two of them, and they're both standing around, and one guy looks at the other and goes, "You got it?" And the other guy looks at the other one and goes, "You got it?" And drops in between them. And then Clint Frazier with one that he should have had. We've seen that from him like three times this year. It's a play that it's a routine play for a major leaguer in the outfield. He just misjudges it it with his glove, and it goes off his glove. And that's as angry as I've seen Masahiro Tanaka in his Yankee career. I've never seen him that angry as he was last night. And quite frankly, I don't blame him. I don't think he was showing up his teammates. I just think he was pissed. He's like, how does this happen twice in a game? This is
so
crazy.
You know how we have we have the honey badger in our outfield for our softball team?
Yeah.
And when guys are out there and he's out there, they're all worried about what? Running into him because he's running all over the place trying to make every single play.
Yeah, circus act.
Right. So I think when you think of the two players, Frazier and Gardner, they both are like sandpaper players, right? They're gritty. They're in your face. They're going
spark plug guys.
Yeah, but they're always going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And here's two of them coming together where if they're both going 100 miles an hour, they're going to run into each other and kill each other.
Yeah, well, they weren't going 100 miles an hour. They were just standing there idly, loitering, watching the ball fall between them.
But my point is I think one thought the other would get it, and the other thought the other one would get it.
Yeah, well, neither got it, and that was a big problem for them. But, hey, they end up winning the game, and it's the point is moot. And there was also, I mean, Cameron Maybin, who scores the game-winning run, and that was a play where I don't even know how he avoided that tag. But he did. He made a critical error, too, with two outs. He's the tying run in a 2-1 game. He tried to stretch it from first to third, should have stayed at second base, got thrown out at third. So there was a couple of mistakes there from the Yankees last night that could have cost them the game and they still won. Right, exactly. So let's talk about this bat flip with Pete Alonso, because I don't think that he meant to do that. So I don't think that he did.
Now, he had too much pine tar in his gloves?
He might have meant to toss it a little bit, but I think that it got stuck to his hand, and then it ended up flying up farther in the air. Now, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. I'm just calling it the way I see it. Now, I don't care if he like lit the bat on fire and carried it around the bases like a torch.
Yeah, okay.
That would have been fine with me. None of that stuff bothers me. But for the people that the bat flip stuff bothers them, I really don't think he was trying to show up the Padres. I think that the thing got stuck on his hand and all of a sudden went way up in the air.
Well, you know what the problem is? The problem is the day before, Paddock called him out.
Right, yeah.
And made a big deal
so
about it.
So everybody's
going to
assume that he did that on purpose.
Exactly.
And I don't think that he did. Do you think that he did? I mean, it looked awkward. He even like looked back at it like, oh, crap, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. He probably got caught up in the emotion, but he also probably had the damn thing stick to his his hand, because when he looked up, he was like, oh, what did I just do?
Yeah, I know. It's like he was twirling a baton.
You know, Pete Alonso doesn't remind me of a guy that would do something like that.
He doesn't. I mean,
he seems to me to be the guy that actually just respects the game, and he said all the right things after the game the other night when he struck out, and he took his medicine after Paddock got to him and all that other stuff. But there still has to be a little bit of juice when you hit that home run, where he hit it, the fact that it gave the Mets the lead, and the fact that it came the day after he had to deal with all the embarrassing questions.
Yeah, I think that's such a great sign for his development and what type of player and guy he is.
He's a good dude, man.
I mean, to have that day where he's all right, he's still a rookie. He gets called out by another rookie who is pissed off that he didn't win the rookie of the month. He strikes out three times, twice at the hands of that other rookie, and then has to answer all these questions about that. To come out the next day and to do what he did is just such a great sign. For him to be able to pick himself up like that and be able to perform the next night in the manner that he did and hit another monster home run when it counted the most. I mean, this guy has been everything and more we wanted. Every time we heard something about Pete Alonso, we were skeptical about him. I mean, he has lived up to the billing so far.
Well, so far he has. And Cano had four hits last night, so I don't know. Maybe this is the impetus of him getting moving here or whatever. Maybe he's starting to feel a little of the pressure and he's going to react and get a little bit more involved. But I would say that both the Yankees and the Mets have their first baseman for the next 6 to 8 years. Right? And they're almost carbon copies of each other.
Yeah.
And they hit home runs.
Brooding.
Big,
yeah.
And the one thing I do like about what Alonso has done, and they talk about it pretty much, especially with Keith in the booth, they talk about it a lot, how much time he is spending on his defense and how to really hone his skills at first base. And that's something that you really appreciate. You appreciate hearing it as a fan, and it's easy to root for a guy like that. That's why it's easier to root for Luke Voit. I mean, it's both of those guys show energy, show passion, hit bombs for home runs, and play solid first base. And I would think those are the positions now that we as Met fans don't have to worry about and the Yankee fan doesn't have to worry about.
Yeah, I love the fact that the Mets have a homegrown position player right now that is so far early on in his career turning out to be real deal. Now, I know it's so early. I know it's crazy early.
But he's going to be in the running for Rookie of the Year.
Right. So far, I mean, he's been great. And I don't want to project failure for him. I just don't want to do that because I really think he's going to be good this entire year. It's just so nice to see that. Because in the history of the Mets organization, yeah, there's been guys that have come along, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But homegrown position players that end up being stars for the Mets doesn't happen a whole lot.
That's what you're hoping for Rosario, if he can get his defense corrected.
Yeah.
He had a couple hits again last night, too. So it shows that he can hit and he can play. It's the lack of concentration on defense that is driving the Mets crazy. And there are easy plays that he should be making that he is not making. And there has to be, it's like any sport, but there has to be a focus. There has to be a determination to really be good at what you're expected to be good at. And I think he's so physically gifted that there are times where he just, you know, loses his concentration and feels like he's going to make a play because his arm is strong enough to make any play from shortstop, whether it be the deep hole or if he's going out into second base, he's got to turn his body and make a throw. He can do all of that. But when he makes those dopey errors, it's really, to me, it's just a lack of concentration. It's not a lack of ability, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was concerned with one thing and one thing only last night from a Mets perspective, and that was scoring some runs. And they did that. You needed to see that.
Man, that home run in the ninth inning was huge. It was huge because, you know, obviously Diaz comes in and he almost, you know, he takes us all to the cliff again. And I wonder what's going on with him. I wonder if there's going to be an IL stint here or something sooner or later because it has not been great. You know, he's kind of given up home runs, which he didn't give up in Seattle last year. And last night gives up the run in the bottom of the ninth. And, you know,
the base is loaded. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right.
So I wonder if there's something going on with him. I'm wondering if they're going to want to rest him for 10 days or something here because there's something wrong.
Yeah. It's going to be tough with Familia now, too, on the IL. So, I mean, it's not, unless there's something serious going on, but I don't know if you're going to rest him.
I always feel like when we get into a situation like this with any pitcher on any one of these teams, inevitably a stint on the IL is coming. It's coming somewhere along the line, especially when they have multiple, like, kind of questionable performances. And you're asking a guy to go out there and to get three outs.
Yeah, essentially,
and
yes.
How
especially with
is.
Edwin Diaz, because he doesn't seem to – it's only a three-out save, Mickey Callaway. So maybe we'll pitch him in the eighth occasionally, but usually it's three outs.
Well,
that's what it is.
And it hasn't been good. You know, you're asking a guy to go out there to get three outs in one inning. Go out there and get the outs, and he hasn't been able to do that consistently. You know, giving up home runs, and then last night again with the bases loaded.
They didn't blow the save. So that's, I mean, it was dicey. He didn't blow the save. They needed that win. They needed to score some runs. It was a positive night for them, a great night all around for both teams. Boomer and Geo just getting started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.